I don't want to get any busier. And I know that sounds so crazy, but it's like I actually am so happy with just keeping things small for the season of life that I'm in.
Thank you for pressing play on today's podcast episode. This is a small business conversation with Mel from Season & Co. I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with Mel because it's just a very honest, real chat with another mum who has a business and is managing that blending, juggling act of raising young children, having a business, trying to keep the joy in the business, figuring out, you know, influencer marketing and social media and all of those things. And I just found Mel so refreshing, and it was really lovely to just sit and chat with her. And I think it's a particularly important conversation to be heard, especially given that we're at the end of the year, just about. And I imagine there are people listening who do have their own small businesses and perhaps are reflecting on their own wins or losses. Or perhaps you have an idea, like there is just this little idea or a big idea that keeps tapping you on the shoulder and trying to get your attention, and you are just unsure of how to even take that idea and bring it into reality. The path forward, particularly if you are starting a small business, is rarely very linear, and we're all just learning as we go. And I believe Mel says in this conversation, you know, I'm someone who has a small business and is learning to run a small business as I go. I also think that it's really easy with social media to look at people that do have their own business and think, oh, wow, how lucky are they? They're just killing it. And perhaps not understanding what's actually going on, you know, behind the curtain. Mel talks about the fact that she's not paying herself or her husband a wage. She talks about the teamwork that's involved in being able to actually make it happen. She also speaks about how right now it's the right season for her to keep her business small. And there are so many other bits and bobs in this chat that I just think are really, really important, even around delegating. I think sometimes when we have a business ourselves, you start to notice that you need to delegate, but there's so much resistance around letting someone else into the business. And the things that Mel talks about delegating, I'm like, oh yeah, that's such a great, use of resources and prioritizing what's truly valuable to her. And so this is not a conversation about mass scaling. This is a very real conversation about how to actually, I guess, play around with influencer marketing, what to expect, and just all of the very relatable stuff, like having to pause the business for a few weeks when things pop up. Mel has three young children, and she is also a working nurse. I think she's wonderful, and I swear that the Season & Co. products, their small batch seasonings, are so good. We burn through them in this household. So definitely jump over and check out Season & Co., and I hope you enjoy this very refreshingly honest and candid conversation with Mel from Season & Co. Just quickly, a word from today's sponsors. Unless, of course, you're one of our Venti members, in that case, there are no ads and your episode is about to keep playing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mel, where did the whole idea and concept for Season & Co. even come from?
So it started about 3 years ago, where I had this idea to just elevate the cooking we were doing at home. We had you know, three young kids, and my husband's was a fresh grad teacher. I'm a part-time nurse, and we just couldn't really afford to go out to eat a lot, just because we have obviously other priorities and stuff. And so the idea was kind of born out of how can we elevate that cooking we're doing at home? And the chili oil was kind of born there. I started making it, making different recipes, and I started to bring a little jar to work, and then people were like, can you make me a jar? And then, yeah, just the feedback was like so good. Everyone was saying, oh, this is the best chili oil. And, yeah, I just think if you've got a young fam and you're eating at home, the chili oil, just chuck it on your eggs and it automatically
it takes it to like a chili scramble, which you'd pay $26 for at a cafe at the moment.
Yes, so exactly. So
I completely understand the desire to elevate those home meals, because you're so right, particularly with three kids. You know, you take three kids out to eat. I don't know what your kids are like, but my kids, they're not the best eaters, and I don't feel great about spending a fortune on eating out because, one, they might not enjoy it. Two, they probably won't eat at all, and I just don't like the wastage side of it. So I completely relate to that. Oh, how can we make our meals at home tastier?
And definitely.
You're obviously a foodie.
Oh, such a foodie. I always have been. It's probably some childhood trauma, but
isn't everything?
I know, for sure. I feel like me and my nan, we used to just cook together. And like when, I don't know if you know this, but when my, when me and my sister were both grew up in foster care, so my mum, my dad actually murdered my mum when I was like one, and then we both moved to foster care. So our childhood was very like just dysfunctional.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine.
I had no idea, Mel.
But yeah, so my nan was kind of that one grounding. We'd see her like once a week on a Wednesday, and she was like really the only little glimpse of like true love that we would get. And so we would always cook together. And so I think it just was like a love of mine from like my early childhood days is just waiting for like the next Wednesday to come around when I'd like someone would say, how was your day? What's going on? And like spend time. So yeah.
It makes so much sense that that cooking time with your nan represented some emotional safety.
Yeah,
so it makes sense that as an adult, that represents emotional safety for you as well. And I just have to say, I feel like the biggest dickhead because I just made a joke about, oh, childhood trauma, don't we all have it? And then let me return some real trauma, Kylie. I'm sorry to hear.
No, don't even. I've totally unpacked that, and it's not, you know, I feel like it's not really part of, well, it's part of my story, but it's not like a huge part that I want to, like, I don't dwell on it, you know? I'm very much like everything happens for a reason, and I wouldn't be who I am today without all those past experiences, you know? So
yeah,
that's where it was born. My love of cooking was born at Nan's in her kitchen.
And so did you then take that idea, like when you started to realize, oh, other people are enjoying this as well, there might be a business niche here? And did you begin to think, okay, I might start selling it to people that are at work, like my coworkers, maybe they can pay for ingredients, or actually maybe they can pay for my labor? And how did the next kind of steps unfold for you?
So there was a lot of self-doubt, and there was about a year of going back and forward with my graphic designer, who is also like a friend. And it was just funny reading the messages, because it'd be like a 6 month gap between like, I think I want to do this, and then completely ghosting. And then I just got to the point where I was like, wait a second, like, why not? Like, if, even if I do all this and it's a learning experience, and I've just lost the last 5K in my bank account to a hobby and it's a complete fail, like, I just got to the point where I was like, well, I'm okay with that, you know? So when I got to that point.
I was just going to say, I think sometimes you do get to a point where it's like, what would be worse? Would it be worse to continually have this idea drop in and keep tapping me on the shoulder, as Elizabeth Gilbert talks about in Big Magic? Would it be worse to kind of go, okay, it keeps circling back to me and I'm not doing anything with it? Or would it be worse to lose that sum of money and at least have an answer?
Yes, definitely. So it got to that point where we just decided to go all in. And I remember, well, when I say all in, very carefully, like, we didn't want to, we're definitely doing this whole thing like bootstrap style, so we don't want to take on any, and a lot of people, like, it's kind of countercultural, because a lot of people are like, no, you need to dump all this money in ads and you need to do this. And I'm like, I actually don't. Like, I just want to take it really slow, because I don't want to put my family, like, there's a big risk, right? Like, you don't want to be like, well, here's 30 grand that I'm never going to see again, and then I'm going to be, you know, paying that off for the next 2 years. So it definitely has been like very small steps.
Yeah, a calculated risk that you are comfortable with.
Yes.
I remember when I started the Kind Parenting Company, which wasn't called the KPC at the time. It was under a different business name.
Mm.
But my dad lent me $4,000 to pay for the website and the digital creation of everything.
Yep.
And when I tell you, Mel, that I was sweating bullets that I would never be able to pay him back, no word of a lie. And then the things launched and I had this incredible 24-hour launch period. But all I cared about was, oh my gosh, I can pay my dad back. Like, it's so that good. Fine line. Like, I never would have gone to my partner at the time and said, can I have, you know, well, he didn't want to put that money into the company. But yeah, it's like finding that sweet spot of how much are you willing to set aside and be comfortable.
Yep, definitely. So then we just went all in. And as soon as I got my like branding brief, it just, I was like, this is so, it just felt so right. And then, yeah, I remember getting my first 50 followers on Instagram, you know, and just looking back on the videos, and they look so cringe now. Like, they're just so poor quality. But, you know, as you do things, you get better and you learn. And yeah, I'm still not like, I'm such a small, small drop in the ocean when I look at like some of the competitors out there. But yeah, I just feel like there's what, 26 million people in Australia. Like, I can, there's enough for everyone. Like, I can make this work, you know.
Social media is such an incredible tool for allowing us to access people and to find your little community, definitely, your piece of the pie, those people that are going to support you and believe in you. Now, you touched on your branding, and your branding is so cool. I love the colors. I love the design. Yeah. I love the font.
Thank you.
Were there a few iterations for you to get to that point?
No. No, I just think my designer, my designer knew – We went back and forth with a bit. Like, I know I definitely wanted like the chili and the garlic and some star anise we added in there. We did play around with the layout of stuff, but like the color and the text, she just nailed. Yeah.
So good.
She's so good. Love it.
Tell me about how your business is now. So you can fast forward those first couple of months and through those cringy first original posts, which they should be cringy. I think when you're starting a page and you're putting yourself out there, you should look back and go, oh, that's not where I'm at now, because it means that you've grown and you've progressed with the content that you're creating. But where does your business actually sit now for you?
Yeah, for sure. It's not like, I feel like I'm at a place where I'm in a good spot. Like, I'm still working my 2 days a week as a nurse, and then Season & Co. kind of fits around that. But I'm not like one of those people that are getting like 100 orders a day, you know, like it's not at a place where I could really pull back from my nursing job. But it's also perfect. Like, a lot of people, I don't want to get any busier. And I know that sounds so crazy, but it's like, I actually am so happy with just keeping things small for the season of life that I'm in. And I'm totally okay with that. I actually don't want to get too much more busier right now. So it's just a perfect sweet spot where I'm, you know, probably getting 5 to 10 orders a day, enough that I can pack that stuff at night and keep on top of stock and not be too stressed and just learn things slowly. I think if I grew really quickly overnight, I would actually, it's a lot of pressure, because I know that deep down, my husband and the kids are always my main work, and they're always going to be my main work. So, there's been times when we've closed for like 4 weeks because I had ankle surgery, or we went away to Shark Bay and then things just rolled over and school holidays, and I'm like, I'm actually not going to open again for another 2 weeks. And I think people can relate to that, because they're in that season where they get it, you know. But I'm just, and I know it sounds crazy. Like, you want to
– it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound crazy at all, Mel. It makes total sense. And I think it's such an important thing to actually speak about, because there's so much pressure out there for us as business owners to be like, well, hustle, hustle, hard, grow. Don't you want employees? Don't you want this? Don't you want the commercial kitchen? Don't you want to get into stores? And, like, those things may come down the track for you if that's eventually what you end up wanting. But isn't it so nice to just be in a position where you're like, I enjoy this. It's rewarding. It gives me a sense of fulfillment. Mm. It's very different to the work that you do your other 2 days a week nursing, which I just take my hat off to nurses. I think nurses are the most incredible people to walk the earth.
Yeah, thank
I could
you.
Never. Like, you're just amazing. But it's so nice to actually just go, well, this is the balance that works for my family, and you clearly know what your top values are and your core values are, and you can live to that.
Yeah.
So do you have specific days that you make your seasonings and you're like, this is a production day, this is a cooking day? How do you actually break your week up around your nursing job?
So the hard thing with shift work is it's all here, there and everywhere. I am very lucky. I get set days at my work. So a lot of nurses will be like gasping, like, that is so unfair. But I work Tuesdays and Fridays all the weekends. So those are my days I'm available, and I get my 4 shifts across those days. Including night shift and stuff like that. And then I just make, I have them pretty much when the kids are either at daycare for the day, they go to daycare on those 2 days. And there's usually 1 week that I've got a day off, as in I work the weekend, so then I'll have a Tuesday kid free. And, just get in the kitchen, get it all done. And then the good thing about the seasoning is it's not like a cake business where you're having to make to order. So once it's made, they have like a 6-month shelf life, so it's quite easy to be like, okay, I might prep even though we're not out, I'm knowing we're going to be out soon. And it's just been really easy. It hasn't been, I've got friends who might be like doing a cupcake business or something else, and it seems to be like making to order is a bit more stressful. Like the fact that my stuff is more like got a longer shelf life does help. It's definitely a juggle. Like, I'm not gonna lie, there's days when I'm just like, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? I could be relaxing by my pool with a book, but I'm in the kitchen from all day. There's definitely sometimes those thoughts of.
Yeah, that's the thing. Hey, it's like, even if it's something you enjoy, it's still mental load, still adds to the mental gymnastics.
Definitely.
And there are obviously so many moving parts with your shift work and your kids and everything like that.
Yeah.
In terms of selling and growing that community, I was going to say audience, but it's customers. That growing that customer base, how important has social media been for you?
Oh, social media has been everything. I think we're spending $3 a day on ads. So social media is where I get all my customers from. I'm in one little local cafe, which has been really cool. But social media has been it. And I think just being like, I'm just like, I need to just be my true self on social media. I don't wear makeup. I'm just trying to be as authentic and real as possible and show clips of real life. And I think people resonate with that. And also just showing how I actually use the seasonings or little recipes here and there has been really helpful. It's been a slow process. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I got 100,000 followers in 3 months. Like, I'm a very, very small little part of Instagram at the moment. But, it's been great. It doesn't feel hard to just video some content and throw it up, you know. I just don't really care. Like, you like it or you don't like it. I'm trying not to put too much pressure on making it perfect because it's not real life, you know.
Absolutely. And I know that it can seem, particularly with social media, you look at other people's accounts and you're like, oh my gosh, they've got hundreds and thousands of followers. But I remember saying to one of my girlfriends when she first started her social media account, she was like, I've only got 200 followers. And I said to her, imagine 200 people in a room. Like 200 people that are going to listen to what you say, 200 people is huge. Yeah. And so starting small, 20 people is still huge. Like, imagine speaking in front of 20 people that you don't know.
Definitely.
And I guess that's part of the art of social media. It's like, how do I grab the attention of these people that have expressed that they are interested in this account? And you're so right with just filming behind the scenes content, showing how to use the products. That is what builds that brand loyalty, because people go, definitely. Oh, she's got kids, I've got kids, she's a busy working mum, I'm a busy working mum. And then people do want to support a small business. So it's a really crucial part in building your brand.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you feel nervous when you first started using social media and stories and, you know, filming yourself as well?
Not really, because I think I'm a classic oversharer. That's probably just, again, my childhood trauma of not being spoken to as a kid. And now I just love to share. Like, I'm such a verbal processor. So, like, my absolutely love thing to do is just talk about everything. So sometimes I think I probably overshare too much. but no, I didn't find it hard personally. But yeah, I think you're right though. When you look at some other accounts, like some of them are just so perfectly curated, and it's just, it can be hard to like try not to compare. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I came across your account because Courtney Mangan had shared some of your products.
Yeah,
so talk to me about influencers sharing your goods and how that impacts you as a small business.
Yeah. Oh, man, I will not forget that day, because I think I'd only been open for a few months, like literally maybe 2 or 3 months, and I sent her some stuff. And like, because, you know, when you're a small business, you don't actually – I have no money for influencer marketing. Like, if I'm honest, I don't. And so you just send out some packages every month and you just hope that maybe someone will love them enough to mention them. It's probably like, don't come to me for business advice. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. But yeah, I sent her a PR box and she unboxed it and she actually tasted it on camera. And I think that was like the biggest difference, like compared to just opening, oh, look what I got. It's like, what, she actually tasted it and then gave like a little review. And then she mentioned me in her Christmas gift guide. And yeah, I think we got like 1.5K in sales like overnight, which was just the biggest we've gotten. And I was so thankful. I sent her a message and I've just sent her some of the Sweet Heat one around new like hot honey. But yeah, no, it's been good. It's been interesting because I think you just assume that everyone would want to take your stuff. Like, I'm going to send you some free stuff, but there's a lot of like, oh, we're working with a competitor, or we can't mention you guys online, or we're working with another hot honey company. So there's a lot of that stuff. And these are just huge companies that have much more of a profit margin to, you know, pay influencers that we don't have. So, yeah, but it's so good for brand awareness. So I probably need to actually fit it into a business plan somewhere.
It's a really interesting landscape at the moment, I think, influencer marketing. I had a company reach out to me recently on Instagram and they were like, look, can we send you some stuff in exchange for content? We don't have the budget, like all of that sort of stuff, which is a really normal message that I would receive. And I was so open and honest with them. And I said, like, this is probably what I can do for you. Like, we went back and forth a little bit, and not to get into the weeds of it. But then when they sent me the product, it wasn't the product that they said they were going to send me. And I was like, this is where there's this disconnect, I think, sometimes, because brands will reach out and think, oh, this person's got a huge following and it will only take them 20 seconds to promote it. But then as someone that spent years building a following, if you receive something and you're like, well, it's not the right size, it's not something I'd spend my money on.
Definitely.
It's this really awkward tension. Like, it's a really, I find it really, really uncomfortable to be like, ooh, I don't know how to word this, but I wouldn't buy that. So please don't send it to me.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a hard one. I think you're so... Yeah.
For sure. You're so right. Awkward.
You just have to send the press, I think. I think the way that you explained it is perfect. You know, you send the press packs and you hope that it lands with that person at the right time.
Yeah, definitely.
And if they don't get to it, they're not an awful person. But if they do get to it, amazing. Like, it's
definitely I think that's the best way to go is I'm sending this as a gift and it is what it is. And I think that's the best way for me, just to be like, I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't, maybe tell a friend about it. Don't have to mention on story, you know. But Amy, this girl on TikTok, Amy, she's like a young mum. She's got 4 kids. She has just been like insane. Like, she actually obsessed with our chili oil. And so she talks about our stuff like every other week. And so I reckon most of our sales have come through her this last 6 months. Yeah, it's just been insane.
And so as a small business, it's obviously very worthwhile, the cost that you incur to gift an influencer, right?
Oh, like, so 100%.
For you to send your products and then to have that outcome, like you said, you sent Courtney some products. She tasted it in her video. And Courtney is just so real in her videos. Oh, I think that's why she's amassed such a big following. Yeah. I think she's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. She's such a joy to watch.
Yeah. And she does those like random food, like, so it really fits our niche, you know. She does that like, oh, I've got this random burger flavored chips and like, yeah, so she's so good.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, you sending your chili oil to someone who is only a fashion account, that's probably not going to land because that's not necessarily why people are going to that person. Definitely. And I think for anyone listening who perhaps has a small business or is thinking about starting a business, that's a big one. Sit down and think about the influencers that you want to reach out to, but don't just base it off, oh, they're, you know, logistically or geographically close to me and their following is huge. Mm-mm. Because someone who only posts bikini photos and has 10 million followers, those 10 million followers might all be men overseas. Like there's nothing to say that they're going to convert to sales.
Definitely.
And I think that's where micro influencers are really, really helpful for small business owners.
So true. And even like, I won't name the influencer, but we sent some stuff over and she...
You're like, it's you, Kylie.
No, it's not you. But like this is like drop dead gorgeous influencer, like huge.
Definitely and, not me.
No, you are gorgeous. Stop. But yeah, like she mentioned our stuff, and I think we got like 4 followers. You know, like it just it's interesting because you know where Amy talked about our chili oil and she cooks with it all the time, and that's like 2K worth of sales in the day. You know, like it's just it's insane what you think is gonna reach people versus what actually does.
Have you had much success at all with TikTok?
No, only because I feel like it's so easy to post stories on Instagram and then I don't want to have to save the story and then re-go to TikTok and then share it on there. And I should because there's definitely more reach, I think, there, but I haven't given it enough time. Like I posted a video on TikTok. The best video I posted was it had a Bluey in the background. I don't know if your kids are probably too old for Bluey. But like it was this the onesies episode and it was talking about like the bandit's sister came to visit and they're like, how come you haven't come to visit for 5 years? And she's talking about like the fact she can't have kids. And I'm just bawling while I'm twisting bagels. And yeah, that's the best video. It had like 700,000 views. I'm like, it's got nothing to do with cooking. It's just me crying, you know?
But this is the thing, like TikTok is the Wild West. And I had a meeting with someone from my podcasting network and he said to me, you might post something in the morning on TikTok and it just bombs. Like 3 people look at it and no one likes it. And then you might post the same thing that night and it completely pops off. He's like, TikTok is just a different beast. But it's so interesting that you said that because I can upload podcast clips over on TikTok till the cows bloody come home and nothing happens. Then I upload a video of Brendan with the kids and call it Stepdad Edition and everyone's like, oh, this is amazing. And I was like, fuck me.
I know. It's so crazy.
Like, yes, he's great, but come on now. Let's listen to something a little more important. It's like
no
so
one wants
funny.
The mundane. Everyone wants – and then I think that's like, yeah, everyone wants like the random little niche stuff and then, yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. I haven't used this app yet, but I was listening to a podcast the other day and it was an adult content creator and she was talking about how she uses an app called Repurpose. Mm. And apparently it removes the watermark from TikTok and then automatically uploads it to Facebook and Instagram.
There you go.
So just for any other business owners who might be listening at the moment or content creators, if you're struggling to do, as Mel just said, like download, upload, blah, 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 because all that stuff takes time, that could be worth having a look. And I'm sure there are other apps that do the same thing. But I thought I would just mention that one.
Yeah, thank you. I should do that.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That.
When it comes to managing the juggle, what are the things that actually make it manageable for you?
I think just being okay with being small for a season, you know. I think that's for me, and I'm quite lucky in the fact that I'm not, you know, I do have my nursing job, so there is that side income coming from that, but I'm okay with not being this giant company and like taking over the spice world and, you know, annihilating all my competitors. Like I'm okay with just being little for a while because I know that, well, maybe I don't know, but I'm hoping that as the kids get a little bit older, I'll have a bit more time. So I'm just really paving the road with that bigger vision, you know. But it is hard. I think I have a really great husband, if I'm honest, and he is like my saving grace. He's so supportive. He loves our stock. He loves our brand. He takes it everywhere. And that's helpful because he'll come in and he'll just, if I've had a big day in the kitchen, he'll literally put the kids to bed and say, go read a book. I'll bring you a cup of tea. And an hour later, the kitchen, you know, like he's just a great, we're a great team. So I think having a supportive partner makes it really helpful. Trying to delegate jobs is an important thing. I remember that Steph Gorton. I haven't done any of her business courses yet, but she, I remember her podcast, one of her podcasts, she said like, you have to let go of thinking you can do everything and you have to be okay with delegating jobs. So that's been helpful too, because I'm like, even little things, like if I've got to pick up spices from the city, I'll just send an Uber and I'm like, this is $60, but this is $60, this is worth it. You know, I'm to do a 2-hour round trip with the kids, just delegating stuff and being okay with it. Be like, it's money well spent because it means I can do some gardening, do some washing, or hang out with the kids, go for a swim, you know?
I love that you just shared that, because delegating, often the first thing that comes to mind is like, okay, then I've got to train someone up to do something else. But it's like, no, you can actually delegate other tasks in your business that aren't crucial. Like you can send an Uber to pick something up because, like you said, a 2-hour round trip with kids, that's going to cost you your sanity. It's not fun for the kids. Yeah. Then it becomes a stress, and then that takes away some of the joy that the business is giving you. So I think that's actually a super, super helpful tip.
Or even the cleaner. Like there's so many things you can just, try and delegate. Any task that you don't need to do, try to get rid of if you can.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned that you used a graphic designer. Do you have other people that you sometimes engage for freelance work, or do you have employees in the business?
No employees, just myself and my husband. So we're not actually paying ourselves a wage right now, but we are, just trying to reinvest all that money in the business. We do have a couple of little influencers that are like making us a reel once a week, and we give them like, it's not much, it's actually pathetic money. It's like $200 a month or something. But some of these guys are just starting out, so they're more than happy just to do that. But I do need to look at it more. I think it's on the agenda to look at. I know that there was, not at the moment, just us. My sister helps, which is amazing. Yeah. She'll take free spices and she'll come over like once or a fortnight and just smash up bulk spices with me, and she's a great sounding board. Just us.
How old are your kids?
Penny's 6, Sully's 5, and Tilly is just turning 3 next month. So still little. Yeah.
Very busy, yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. As they get older, you'll get that little bit of time back as well.
Mm.
So, yeah. As the kids grow and the business progresses along, do you have visions for it? Like, do you have that 5-year plan? Mm. Do you have some things that you're like, oh, in time, when all 3 kids are at school, this is what I'd love to do?
Yeah.
Or are you just taking it as it comes at the moment?
I think I've got definitely got a big vision. If I could, I don't want to ever give up nursing, but I would love to get maybe to a stage where I was just working one day a week. I don't think I could give it up forever, like full time. I'd love to potentially get out of the house, because at the moment everything is done in our like little council-approved kitchen, and we've got the spare room just full to the brim with like Season & Co. stuff. It'd be really nice to maybe have like a dedicated Season & Co. space, whether that be like a shed that was like a little commercial kitchen space or something like that. So, yeah, just that big vision about like where do we want to be in a few years. This house is probably a little bit small if we wanted to add a shed, so then that's the kind of vision, is like its own little dedicated space that wasn't always, well, the kids could have their own room, that'd be nice. So I do have that big, but I don't have like a huge 5-year business plan. I'm just kind of learning how to run a small business while I'm running a small business,
Keep the joy in it. Can you tell me about your products?
Yeah.
Let our listeners know, what can they expect from Season & Co. products? Why should they come over and check your website out?
I think our products are just small batch seasonings. They're made literally 20 at a time. So they're just beautiful flavor combinations. I think our best seller is probably the garlic lovers. That's just outperforms everything, and it's just incredible, like to mix with cream cheese on a bagel or put in mashed potato, or just I think if you're doing like meal prepping as well and you're just trying to eat clean, I think the seasonings are really great for that because you just marinate your chicken, chuck it in the air fryer, you know. I just think they're really winning combos and they're just great. The chili oil on eggs, pizza, oh yum, they're just
you've
so
got
good.
You've got a taco seasoning as well, don't you?
Yes, we actually just – that one was a bit too on the spicy side where a lot of families were like, we can't eat it as a family. So we've lowered the chili a little bit on that one. But, yeah, the taco one's so good. Probably one of my favourites, if not the garlic lovers for sure.
Yeah. And not that it's super important, but it's worth mentioning that all of the products just look beautiful in your pantry as well.
Yes, like, thank
they're
you
just
so
really
much.
Nice to have them displayed. They're such beautiful products, and they're also a really great gift idea. I think I'm pretty boring, but without fail, I always put together hampers for like the grandparents and my own parents and things like that, and neighbors. So if anyone is listening and they're like, oh, that sounds amazing. Jump on over to the website, grab a few of these small batch seasonings, pop them into a hamper, and people will just be so stoked with them.
Oh, thank you so much. No, so good. They are great. We got a school. They're giving one jar to each of their teachers. So I got an order for 50 jars. So I thought that was really cool.
That's really cool. I like that.
But it's interesting, on a side note, like it's funny. I don't know if you feel this too, but like how – people outside your circle like can be so like just jump on brands so much. Like I've had some people that are like ordered from us like 10 times, right? But then there'll be like immediate family members who like haven't.
They're still getting the old El Paso taco seasoning.
And you're like, guys, come on, like give, like our stuff is good. Like, oh man, it's so hard.
It is. It is really good. Your stuff is great. We smashed the chili oil so fast because, as you mentioned, we were just adding it to our breakfast chili scramble.
Yeah.
Brendan's also the sort of person that can eat like a whole chili. It's never spicy enough for him. So I think that's why we went through it so quickly.
I need to get on those giant jars. Everyone keeps telling me, and I don't know why I've just not done it, but I think I do need to just do like I've got these 2.5 size. Yeah, I just need to do that.
just another thing to add to your mental load, sourcing more containers and whatnot. Mel, it's been so nice to hear about your business and to chat with you. My pleasure. Our listeners obviously know by now your brand is Season & Co, but it's Co with a K.
Yes.
Where else can our listeners connect with you and check out your products?
Yeah, just seasonandco.com. Which is great, nice and easy to remember. And, yeah, Instagram or TikTok if you want, like, the lame version because I don't post on there very often.
TikTok if you want to see Mel crying while she's twisting bread.
Yes, you want to check out the video.
If that's your specific kink, head there. Amazing. I will make sure we have all of the links directly in our show notes. Mel, thank you so much. I know you were nervous, but you smashed it. You did so well.
Thanks for having me. That was great.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. If you want more of the I Am podcast in your ears, make sure you become a podcast subscriber. It is really, really simple to do. All of the details are in the show notes. For the cost, actually less than the cost of a cup of coffee per month, you will receive access to exclusive podcast episodes. That's right, you'll get a bonus episode every single week that you will not hear anywhere else. And to be honest with you, I really am sharing a lot more over in those exclusive episodes. It feels like a really safe zone for me. So make sure you check out the subscription offers that we do have available for that exclusive content. And perhaps best of all of the episodes will be ad-free. So if you feel good about supporting a female-founded, female-led business, check out the subscription offerings available and become a podcast supporter today. Today's podcast episode was recorded on the land of the Bunjalung Nation. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.